brother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome to Alive. This is Claire, and thank you so much for joining me today. Oh my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee. I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. Well, I've got a great treat for you today. We've got another guest in the studio, and this is Agnes Kwan. Now, I met Agnes about a year ago, I think. Agnes, was it at the convention Splendor of Truth conference last year?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and I was very impressed with Agnes. I go and I'm on the roster at 24-hour adoration at Mount St. Mary's in Titirangi, and Grace, when she needs somebody, will just give me a ring. Now, quite often I'm not actually in Auckland, but if I'm in Auckland, I'll always fill in. And so Agnes has started adoration, and she's now since started adoration every night of the week at Hearn Bay with Father Rory from 7 p.m. till 10 o'clock. And I know, Agnes, you've actually extended that. So whenever I'm in Auckland, I always make sure at least once a week I can try and get along there. So Agnes was very gracious, and she agreed to come on to the program. So Agnes, tell me a little
bit. Thank you, Claire. Hello, everyone.
Yes, Agnes. So firstly, a little bit about yourself, when you came to New Zealand, when you fell in love with this apostolate, and how this has all started.
Sure, thank you. I was born in Hong Kong. I came to New Zealand 30 years ago.
Great.
But I wasn't young at that time. So
she looks about 20.
Praise God for that. And I've been like searching for the meaning of life. And I felt that the Lord is calling me for vocation, for religious life. However, I chose a different path. I was rebellious. I went for like all sort of wild life.
You wouldn't believe it to see her now. She looks like an angel.
Well, it's all just because of the grace of God that converted me. Very hard though. And so while I was like searching for my vocation, and I came across a consecrated community, a lay consecrated community called Eucharistic Oblate for the Vulnerable. They're based in Hong Kong, and I love their charism. Their mission is to promote Eucharistic adoration, especially among the broken people. Mm-hmm. The founder has been working with disabled for 30 years, and she has been inviting disabled people to go to the Lord to receive healing. It's not only just the physical healing, but also emotional healing, spiritual healing, and all the wounds that we have. And I got just attracted to the community. So I joined them 2 years ago.
And so how did you actually find your way to the community?
It's actually, I was introduced by somebody that referred me to my superior now, that asked her for her a prayer, for healing prayer. Mm-hmm. And that's how I know about them. And then we started to like discern with each other. And I professed my first vow on the 7th of July, only last month.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, Agnes, wow, that's amazing. So, okay, you've joined this community and you've taken on their charism. And so did you just automatically agree to start this in New Zealand? I mean, we do have adoration, but you clearly have taken this on board. Mm. And personally, to see Agnes there every night of the week, you know, 7 nights a week, I mean, that is very powerful.
Well, for me, it's a blessing to be able to be in front of the Lord for every night. The community actually started this apostolate called Perpetual Eucharistic Adoration Movement.
Yep.
Short name is PEAM, P-E-A-M.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose of this movement is to change the mentality of people about the adoration. I will explain a little bit later about that. And then, and somehow after I joined them and I was with them since 2017, and we lived with them. I followed them to India and to the Philippines to start Adoration Chapel. And then we have been like discerning. And then I found that somehow my in Hong Kong, although I was born there. So they sent me back to New Zealand. We sort of like separate with each other for some months. We continue to pray and discern. And then we both found the confirmation that I should go back to them because I belong. I have their calling. Well, I have their vocation. However, the Lord want me to stay here in New Zealand, where I've been here, living here in Auckland for a long time. So this is how I went back to them and professed my vows, but then now staying here to start this perpetual Eucharistic adoration movement. And one of the things is to actually start adoration, go to parishes to encourage the parish to have adoration. Mm. And I thank God that Father Rory is very supportive to this idea. Mm. And he opened up the chapel,
now,
the church for me.
This is very interesting, Agnes. I'm not sure if you know, but what led you to Father Rory? I've got a little story.
Sure.
There. What led you?
Oh, what led me? Father Rory has been my spiritual director, mm-hmm. and he has been helping me to discern my vocation too.
Right.
So when I present him this PM, the details, and then he basically just told me that, he just asked me a very simple question: what I have done to the vulnerable people? Have I ever brought them to the Eucharistic adoration? And I said to them, no, there's no parish around in the city I can introduce people to go. I mean, Titi Rangi is very far away for most of the people. And then he just pointed to the church and say, it is free. Mm. It's available.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what. Father Rory has often had adoration in his church over the years, you know, whether it's 40 hours or, you know, he's supportive, very supportive.
Yeah.
And then my late co-host, Gary, and I, you know, we really just love adoration. And so we were just thinking, Titirangi is an awful long way away. I mean, it was a 60-kilometre round trip. And when you don't have a lot of money, petrol, it's, you know. So we were just saying that we need, you know, perpetual adoration somewhere right in the middle of the city.
Amen.
And then we thought, okay, now which church would be great? Father Rory's, because it's central, it's the people from the shore can get there really easily, it's secure, it's safe, it's down the way, and Father Rory has already been doing this.
Mm.
So anyway, we interviewed Father Rory on the radio night, and he'd been on before, but this particular night we had a task to ask them, and we took him out to dinner, and then afterwards we said, Father Rory, we want to start perpetual adoration eventually, starting with a few hours and working up to it. And we said, could we use your church? Yes, immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But sadly, probably about 6 months later, before we'd actually got it off the ground, Gary had an accident and passed away. So for you to find your way there, I think Gary must be have something to do with this, because he was a very, very prayerful man, and he was absolutely very close to Father Rory. And this is just an answer. Well, it's a miracle, really. So, Agnes, thank you for that.
I thank God.
Yes. So, isn't that funny?
I think that God is just putting the pictures, you know, all the pieces together.
Yeah. So, as soon as I saw you at the conference last year, you were in the stall next to our stall.
Yeah.
Because I was doing the Rosary Crusade for Life and Faith.
Yes.
And so I went up to you, introduced myself, and we talked, and I was just very impressed with what you were trying to
praise
do.
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God. So, Agnes, talk a bit more about why it is important. In fact, it is the most important thing in the world for Catholics and eventually for all people to adore.
Sure. Well, for me, staying in front of the Eucharist exposed is just, I'm sure you will agree that as well, we are like in heaven on earth. We, although we cannot see with our own eyes, but with our faith, we know that all the angels and saints are with us together, adoring Jesus, who is sitting at the throne of mercy, with his arm open, that waiting to like just give us all the graces that he would has prepared for us. So coming to him is just like coming to the person who created, well, coming to God who created you, who has, you know, he just wants you open his arms and embrace you. And this is the moment that we can just lay down ourselves, all our stress, all our problems, and just, you know, let ourselves be immersed in his mercy and his love.
Absolutely. Beautiful way of putting it. And also, we had a bit of a joke just before we started the program. If people don't like adoring God and Jesus now, they're not maybe not going to like heaven very much, because that's what you do all day long, you know, adore God forever and catch up with the saints too. But yeah, it's about adoration. So once people really understand that, they really can't keep away.
Sure, yes. And the purpose of this Perpetual Eucharistic Adoration Movement is that we want to change the mentality of people about the adoration. For a very long time, we Catholic would think that, oh, going to adoration is only for those who are very pious, very devoted, for priests, for religious nuns only. No, I'm just only a sinner. It's just too holy for me to go to the adoration. But no, we want to tell people now that coming to the Lord exposed, it is the way we receive his healing. We are also broken one way or the other when we were grown, since we've grown up, and now even before we are born in our mother's womb. So we all carry a lot of baggage, a lot of wounds with us. And coming to the Lord during the adoration is the way we receive his healing and his mercy. And it is not just for Catholic, but also for other people with other faith as well. Because they may not be able to go to Mass to receive the Blessed Sacrament or the Holy Communion, but then they are able to still come to the adoration to receive the same blessing as well. And I was in India last year with my community, and we went to set up an adoration chapel. You know, India is not a Catholic country or not even Christians. It's very it's a Hindu country. They've got a lot of Hindus and Muslim people. And we set up an adoration chapel, and there are people from, you know, Hindu or Muslim, they will come as well for the adoration. And they feel, they may not understand what is that white thing, you know. But then they will just find peace there. And then eventually they will start to ask, what's that white thing on the table? And then this is how we started to do start the conversation. We can start to evangelize. So this is a very powerful way for evangelization as well. St. John Paul II always mentioned about the new evangelization. But I would believe that the PM is the new way of the new evangelization in the new millennium. Because when people come to church, what they want is not entertainment or this or that. People come to church because they know that they want to find God, and bring them to the adoration will let them to see God.
Absolutely. I mean, the Mass is the summit of our faith, isn't
yes.
it? Yes. I mean, it's heaven on earth. And so to be able to sit quietly before our Lord, I mean, how beautiful is that?
Yes.
I mean, I just love it. To sit there and just look. I mean, he looks at me, I look back, it's just absolutely gorgeous. Now, we are just at 3 o'clock, it's Divine Mercy time, so we do a very little sort of shortened version of the Divine Mercy chaplet. So please join in with me, Agnes. So,
sure.
Now, this is a powerful prayer that our Lord gave to Saint Faustina, particularly when somebody is dying. And our Lord promised to stand between the person and the just God as a mirror. Now, when my mother died and she passed away, the 2 days before, I don't know how many times we prayed this prayer for her, because, you know, she was a bit fearful, as naturally, it's a big step into eternity. All right. Okay, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, O Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and resurrection of the dead, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of a sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of a sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you're pregnant and worried, there's a fantastic organisation in Auckland, Family Life International, that you can ring. And the number is 0274-488-070. 0274-488-070. So please give them a ring. There will be some kind voice on the end of the line, and they will try and help you in any way that they possibly can. I work for that organisation, and I can tell you it's a great group of very, very dedicated people. Okay, we're going to get straight back to Agnes, because we don't have much time. I don't know where this program goes, but it's very quick. So Agnes, tell us a little bit more about the power of adoration, the benefits of adoration, and who can come before the Lord.
Sure. I'm glad that actually you led us the Divine Mercy Chaplet, because this chaplet is very Eucharistic itself. We offer up the body and blood, soul and divinity of the Lord, which is the Eucharist itself. So when we pray the chaplet, it is like we are offering the Lord, the Father, with the Eucharist. And also during the adoration, we are doing the same thing as well, that we constantly offer up the Lord for the broken humanity. One thing that a lot of people would think, that when we go to adoration, we just keep on praying for ourselves, for our need, and so on. But then we have to know that when we actually come to the adoration, we are embracing the whole humanity, the broken humanity as well, the whole world, that we are offering them to the Lord, to his sacred heart, which is the Eucharist. Eucharist is sacred heart, that for his healing. So going to adoration is not only just for ourselves or for myself. Oh, I feel really good. I feel when I go to adoration. It's not just that. We come to the Lord to pray for all those who are in need. I mean, when we listen to the news these days, we're just shocked with, you know, everything that can happen these days. People are so torn, so broken, so wounded. As I said before, I came from Hong Kong, and if you were following the news about Hong Kong, it's just terrible.
Yes, absolutely.
So we have to offer all these people to the Lord when we during the adoration.
and we ask the Lord for his healing. We ask the Lord for his forgiveness. We ask the Lord for his mercy on all these people that is so, you know, so wounded.
Mm. Now, Agnes, it is extremely powerful. Now, Agnes, will you come back for next week?
Sure.
Okay, that would be really, really good. I just want to tell the listeners about something which is happening on Sunday, which is going to be absolutely fantastic throughout New Zealand. Now, because of these abortion law proposals and the submissions close on the 19th of September, because I work for Family Life International, which works with pregnant women, we decided we had to do something pretty drastic. Mm. So what can be more drastic than in 1 week organise a nationwide pilgrimage starting from both ends of the country and finally ending up in Wellington the day before the submissions. And that's what we have planned.
Wow.
So starting on Sunday, so get your pieces of paper out, at Cape Reinga there will be a group saying Adorn Rosary at 6:30. And that's with the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So Cape Reinga, 6:30 a.m. Now in Bluff, there will be a Dawn Rosary at 7:19. And that's with the Sacred Heart of Jesus statue with a group of people in Bluff, great people. And from there, both statues will go from parish to parish right throughout the country. And they will eventually meet in Francis de Sales Parish, Island Bay, for a final mass at 7 p.m. on the 18th, it's a Wednesday, December. So we're going to get the final itinerary up on Family Life International's website tomorrow. Make sure you pass around that to everyone you know. We've got a fantastic poster. Look, take some of your annual holidays and, you know, join us for a day or a week or the whole thing. Now, I am going on Sunday from Cape Reinga all the way to Wellington, and I am very, very excited about it. So please come out. We are tiki-touring, basically, starting quite slowly all the way through the north. We've had so many disappointed parishes offering to be one of them, but unfortunately, because I'm the organiser, I was allowed to choose the route, and I have really chosen, basically, a lot of the parishes that helped support us in last year's Rosary Crusade. And so it's a bit of a thank you to go back to those parishes, but also we knew that we would have some very, very good people on the ground and being able to help us. I mean, when you're trying to organise 55 parishes in 1 week, it's a bit of a task.
Awesome.
My head's spinning a little bit, but the reaction from priests has been phenomenal. And they have all supported it. We've got offers of billets, of food, lunches, you name it, we've had offers. So you check that website out, Family Life International, on their events page, and you will see the itinerary. Get to either Cape Reinga or Bluff, because this is a worthy and a very historic pilgrimage. Now, Agnes would just like to tell us about something which is happening next week as well.
Yes, on the 8th of September, which is also Sunday, but that day is also the church usually will celebrate the birth of Our Lady. So we are because of the abortion reform bill, we are trying to initiate all parishes nationwide to have the adoration, at least 1 hour adoration, for starting at 3 o'clock p.m.
So that's on the 8th
of September.
So it's Sunday, the 8th of September at 3 p.m.,
yeah.
1 hour adoration. You make sure, if your priest doesn't know about it, you let him know.
Sure, yes, yes. Encourage them to do the adoration for New Zealand. Pray for New Zealand.
Okay, and we're going to sign off now.
He's my brother. So on we go.